And good afternoon to you. Glad to have you on board on what's turned out to be not so bad of a day. No, not near as much rain as it looked like was coming. And when we saw the shift on it there yesterday, I said, we'll see. Well, yeah, and we've got a flow that's kind of going the other way now. Yeah, it was all coming from the southwest, and now it's past us, and it's coming from the southeast. Kind of odd direction. Coming up I-26 toward us. So not too awfully bad as far as today. Not had a lot of rain. Not a lot has fallen, actually, out of the whole system. We were just below us, and we're glad of that. All right, we're not complaining at all. All right, let's see what's going on here traffic-wise. And I want to start out over in Haywood County. And there is all kind of problems going on. It starts just beyond Lake Junaluska. And that's where the traffic backup's at. Some people are trying to get off and go down through Clyde. That has proved a problem because we've got crashes on Carolina Boulevard. And then there's construction on Church Street up above there where they're working on the wall that fell. So anyway, what the problem is, it's backed up from that connector 74 up onto 40. 40 is backed up all the way past the Canton exit, Ken Wilson Ford, all the way past the truck center, almost out to the cattle yard. Well, to the cattle yard. You know where the cattle yard's at, the livestock center, WNC Livestock Center? Yeah, it's at the old landfill there. Yeah, that's how far, right there, out before you get to Newfound. That's how far back it is. That's where it starts, and it is backed up all the way back to the split, down 74, all the way to the Haywood Regional Medical Center. That's how far it's backed up. And it is also backed up back on 40, but it doesn't seem to be backed up as far back on 40 as it is down 74, and I don't know why. But I just know it's not. So, anyway, if you're trying to come east this afternoon out of Waynesville, Canton, going toward Asheville, not a good scenario for you at all. And I don't know all the details. And the two wrecks are on 23 as you try to cut through and go through town, go through Canton. All right, let's look and see what else is going on. We've got slowdowns this afternoon. Moderate traffic coming out of Asheville, and it gets slower once you cross the get under the parkway, and it's going to be slow from there to down below 146, then moderate traffic on to the Asheville Airport. And we've got, looks like, some fair traffic that we're seeing now around the Ag Center, and been seeing a little bit of that, not too bad, but a little bit of that each day. The backups at 25A and 25 there at Mills Gap, they're maybe a little longer than usual. Everything down by the river is in pretty good shape. 191, not a problem. 112's good. A little more weight coming from Asheville on 191 than we're accustomed to, but it's not bad at Clayton Road today. If I'm looking at just a little slow in the junction itself, if we're looking at Asheville coming down from UNCA, it's a little off the pace there, trying to get onto the bridges. And then also a little slower coming around by the Civic Center, coming west. It's always slow this time of the day. As we zoom back out, though, the rest of it's not a bad traffic day unless you're over in Canton. And it's pretty bad over there. But outside of that, it's not too awful bad anywhere in the mountains. In Greenville, little more complicated. We've got a major tie-up on 385 north when it will be on the, of course, it's the east side of town. Don't know what that is, but it's a major tie-up. And, I see, it's a wreck. Okay, so a crash on 385. It's actually going south on 385 down where it meets into 276. Yeah, and it's backed up about halfway around the circle. You've got another wreck in Malden on Main Street. There is another wreck on I-85 northbound at 276. There's one just past that between there and 385. There is a fifth wreck, sixth wreck. It is on I-85 northbound near where 20 crosses. It's got traffic backed up. There's another one, I-185 northbound. There's a crash. And then there's another one on I-185 southbound, not far from the first one. In town, crash on North Church Street. So they're playing bumper cars in Greenville today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 active wrecks. And I've not even got out on the, not got to the trouble spots, So lots, and there's really, there's no way around these things. So you got slow traffic at the two different wrecks, northbound 85 through the city. You've got your normal slowdown southbound before you get to the city at the airport. You've got lots of problems in town. And did I mention? No, I didn't even see that one. 183. There's a crash on 183 before you get out to Sanssouci out that way. At 253 between 276 and 253. Crash right there. So, what a day. 10. 10 wrecks. Wait a minute. There's another one. Can you believe it? South Carolina 8 West, south out of Easley. 11 wrecks right now. And it's, it's raining. They are getting the rain down there. Maybe it's attributed to that. I don't know. That's just a little. It's an unusual map. You don't see that every day. Anyway, other than that, things are fine. Other than that, how are things? They're fine, yeah, fine. 69 is what I'm showing here right now. Asheville's reporting 73. And we are looking down at GSP. And they don't seem to be reporting again. And I'm not sure what that's about. But they don't seem to be. And they were absent yesterday, too. Don't know what's up with that. I'm showing some temperatures around them, though, to be in a little cooler than I expected them to be, actually. Wait for it to refresh. They're in the low 70s as well. So I'm showing 75 in Spartanburg, 73 in Duncan, 73 in Taylor's, 74 north of that. So, they're not far behind us at all as far as temperatures are concerned today. And, of course, they just had some showers come through, and so that's also affecting their temperatures. And the little storm that has brewed up down there is probably, looks like that it may be coming on into the bottom of the mountains. It's kind of going northeast, something like that. And so we'll see. We'll see what it does. I don't know if it's going to make it up the mountain or not, but we'll see. Looking at precipitation, it's not going to be a total rainout, but there's 60% over the weekend of showers, both Saturday and Sunday. So let's just look at the time. Let's look at them here. 40% this afternoon, 30% tonight, 30% tomorrow, 30% tomorrow night, 60% Saturday, 30% Saturday night, 60% Sunday, 40% Sunday night, 60% Monday. And I think rain's in the forecast every day between now and next Thursday. And it's just that afternoon and evening variety pop-up shower. You know how that is this time of the year. Today's the 16th day of the month of September. And the listener's portion of the operating budget being sponsored by Miss Jane Coates Owens and daughters Shauna, Lachey, and Shannon. And it's in memory of Bertha Cunningham, a wonderful mother and grandmother. They love and appreciate the woman she was in their lives. We salute the memory of Bertha Cunningham today, and we appreciate all the Coates family. Thank you for doing that today. And the network budget is sponsored today in thankfulness to the Lord for his many blessings and his continued provision. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Birthdays today, Eric Rogers is celebrating along with Ethan Bryson. Congratulations. Also, Tim and Jakey Haney are celebrating 44 years together today. God bless you with many more. Well, let's see who is on board this afternoon. They're on the app with us. We are hearing from, looks like we see Ann Arbor, Asheville, Brevard, Englewood, Fort Mill, Franklin, Grassy Creek, Greenville, Greer, Hendersonville, Houston, Joplin, Lexington, Lincoln, Marion, Mabane, Morrisville, Plymouth, St. Mary's, San Jose, Springdale, Silva, and let's see here. I see the United Kingdom in a couple of places. Weaverville, I think, is going to end up the alphabet here as we look at folks. And I know some other folks that are on board with us today. We are glad to have with us, let's see, we're glad to have Daryl and Vanny in the Philippines, Judy from Fairview, Gary from Valley Hill, Geraldine from Legaspi, Kathy from Mills River. Glad to have all of you with us. Thank you so much. Ella J is on as well, and appreciate you being with us here this afternoon. And, yeah. And so, anyway, of course, today the SpaceX, the first space crew without a professional astronaut, is officially orbiting the Earth. And the crew is named the Inspiration 4 mission. That's going on today. And, yeah, what about that? Also, the last Sears store closing for good. And they announced wasn't today, but the last one that's in Illinois, and it's closing on November the 12th. Can you imagine that? You know, the amazing part about all that was Sears was positioned in they were the Amazon of the last century. But they decided that mail order was, people wasn't going to do that anymore, and to invest their money in malls and brick and mortar, and that was the new future. What they didn't realize was that if they had just held on a little longer to a phenomenon called the internet was coming, and they had a logistical system in place that literally they were the Amazon of the 20th century. No telling what and all. And of course, by the time that I was a kid, by that time they had pared it back. But there was a time you could buy a house out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Yeah, they'd sell you a house. It'd come on the train car, bring it into town, they'd ship it to you. Everything, all ready to go. Everything it took to build a house, you buy your house from Sears. Matter of fact, I know where there's one at. It's sitting in central Missouri. I know exactly where it's sitting at. A Sears house. And so, you could buy almost anything at back in the day from Sears. And they had it all figured out, all of their suppliers, all the other things. And Sears guns, they sold weapons, and of course they had, name brand gun manufacturers that made the guns for Sears, and Sears had their own brand, but everybody knew who they were made by. They were quality, And so, Sears was always at a good price, and so I've got one. I've got an old Sears gun, old Sears rifle. And, it's a shame that they could not see, what lie ahead, because they were the Amazon.com. There's no doubt about it. But, they didn't see it. And so I guess 2020 hindsight, huh? Yeah. Folks who monitor the scanners and everything in Transylvania County, we had gotten a note about a missing person in the Sapphire area earlier. And so I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know if the person's been found. I'm thinking it's a child, but I don't know for sure. Okay? Don't know for sure. But anyway, I'd like to know that if they're still looking in the upper end, and do we need to share that? Do we need to talk about that? Yeah. Yeah, Sonny said he knew a man that got his driver's license from Sears and Roebuck. Yeah. I have no doubt that's true. And, yeah, the good old days. We've got Kentucky that's with us this afternoon, Joyce and Keith. And then John is in Greenville. Thank you, my brother Wallace. Appreciate you being with us. Got to teach tonight. All right, thank you. Yeah, things have changed. They have. Things have changed a great deal. And not necessarily for the better. I'm telling you the truth. Have you tried to buy anything lately? I mean, everything, there's a wait. You can't find things. They're out of everything. It's the beatenest thing I've ever seen. The supply chain is in a mess. And I made the statement the other day about, I did a little piece on, getting your groceries ahead. And the next day, they came out that the Asheville school system is having to back up and punt because they cannot get what they need for their school year. They can't get what they had scheduled for the menu, so they're having to do something different. So yeah, can you imagine that? It's true. So yeah, it's and it's not everything, but I will say this, we probably have the least in store in most items. We're probably running the lowest as far as what we have as far as backup. We're probably the least, probably the furthest behind that we've been. Probably since wartime, maybe even beyond, don't know for sure. But yeah, it's been a while since we've seen anything quite like this. That is for sure. All right, well, let me change gears and just mention, if I can, that, of course, we have, everybody's talking about the price of fuel and how high fuel is and all those things. And I had somebody ask the question, they said, why is it that, why is fuel so high, and what's the situation with it? I better not say. Somebody was commenting on something else, and I better just leave that alone because, yeah. Let me just share with some information that I've found concerning a barrel of oil, and I was trying to find what a barrel of oil brought today. But for whatever reason, I cannot get it to come up. And so, had it bookmarked, but apparently it's been removed. So, all right, well, let me go another way. Let me go another direction and see if I can bring it up myself. And no, that's not going to do that either. Okay, well, maybe not. If all else fails, Google it, right? Oil today. So let's do that. Oil today rate. There you go. What did it bring today? WTI, $72.67. That's West Texas crude. And then Brent oil was $75.55. That's Britain. Natural gas, 5.435. Per therm. That's not exactly. Yeah, well, I guess it is. Heating oil, 2.220 a gallon. Gasoline, 2.20 a gallon. That's the raw cost. That's what it was bringing today. So let's break it down. How does it work? Okay, how does oil work, and how does it all come together? Okay, well, when a barrel of oil, I don't know where they come up with this at, but a barrel of oil is 42 gallons. That's what a barrel of oil is. It's 42 gallons. And we use around 18 million barrels. So 18 times 42, that'll give you gallons of crude oil every day. That's just in the United States. And so what do we do with it? And how is it used and how is it utilized? Well, for the most part, it is fuel, for the most part. There are some byproducts, there are some other things, but for the most part, it is used as fuel for automobiles. And it has froze up on me. Here we see, okay, nope. No, it's not going to let me back in. What in the world's wrong with it? It does not want me to do that. Okay, let's see if I can try it again. So, for the most part, the if you were to figure it at a barrel, or let's just figure it by the barrel. Out of a barrel of oil, 42%, a little over, but almost 43, 42.7% will be refined into gasoline. 27.4% will be refined into diesel fuel. And people are saying, well, why is diesel so much higher than gasoline? Well, the supply is, the way they refine it, the supply is less. So out of a barrel of oil, and they can move it up and down to a degree, but not completely, but they can vary a little bit the time you cook it and some other things. When I say cook it, the refining process. And by the way, when they cook a batch of fuel is 30,000 gallons that they refine. And it's through heat and pressure, and that's how it separates out. Jet fuel, about 5.8% of a barrel will go to make jet fuel. Heavy fuel, and this would be like the number six fuel oil, that is going to be around 5%. And that's for oil-fired boilers and maybe big ships, things like that. 4% goes into the making of asphalt. Light fuel is about 3%. And I'm not sure what that means. I think it could mean kerosene, but I don't know for sure. But they say light fuel. And then when you, the other part is hydrocarbon gas liquids is about 2%. And what that means is propane and butane, they're both cooked off the top of it. And that leaves about 10.1% that go to make other things. Like what? Well, things like wax and plastic, cosmetics, textiles, all those sorts of things. There, you can even find it, the refined petroleum products, like it's made out of like petroleum jelly, Vaseline, cosmetics, it's in shampoos, it's in plastics like IV bags and pharmaceuticals. So everybody's talking about not using oil. Well, I'd like to see what you're going to replace it with. I'm just saying it is such a part of our lives. So when you take a barrel of oil, it's 42 gallons. But when you refine it and separate it out, you actually get 45 gallons out of the refining process. And that's because that unrefined product has a lower density than, or the, excuse me, the refined product has a lower density than crude oil. Crude oil is very thick and heavy. And so when you break it out into different elements, then it's actually expands it. And so if you have an increase in what's called processing gain. So you start with 42 gallons, you cook it, and you get 45 gallons. And when there are all different inputs, you know, aside from crude oil that are used in the refining process, that they put in it to get it to separate out, to get it to blend and other things. So some of the things that they use crude oil. I mean, that's primarily what goes into the process, but they also use fuel ethanol. That's big. Hydrocarbon gas liquids. They use a lot of what they produce in their own refining process. And then they use blending liquids, some other things. But all of that together, depending on the batch, a 30,000 barrel batch of crude takes about between 12 and 24 hours to cook. Refineries operate 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And the portions of the product can vary some on market demand. They can, but primarily it's where you take it off at in the process. And they can turn it up, turn it down, you know, for the ratios to be slightly different. But the bottom line is the majority of the crude oil in the world becomes fuel for transportation and utilities. It's the bottom line. I don't care what anybody says. And so, well, look at the environment. Well, more people now are beginning to realize that lithium mining is an environmental hazard. It's unbelievable how they're destroying the environment mining the lithium that goes in the batteries for the electric cars. The cobalt, the slaves, the children in the cobalt mines, and all the things for solar energy and solar cells. While it may be making America cleaner and greener, I can tell you that the third world is becoming leaner and meaner. Leaner, they're starving, and meaner because they're enslaving children to make Mr. Biden's electric cars and batteries and all those things. Oh, there's huge, huge concerns now. But because of the powers that be, nobody's going to say anything because the powers that be own stock and all of those things. And so, same thing. You know, tobacco's bad, liquor's good. That's what the politically correct statement was. Tobacco's bad, liquor's good. Why? Because tobacco typically supported conservatives, and liquor traditionally supported liberals. So tobacco's bad, and alcohol's good. Well, gasoline cars, diesel cars are bad, but electric cars are good. Well, what if an electric car is being charged off a coal-fired plant that makes electricity out of coal? Now what you gonna do? Your electric car is polluting because the electricity that it took to charge the batteries in it came from coal. Now what? Okay, same thing. The batteries in your electric car that was mined and very, very poor for the most part is coming out of some very bad environmental practices where these raw materials that are used in photocells, that are used in batteries, all this stuff. And right now we have an unquenchable thirst for those things. And therefore, the third world is being exploited by our quest for all these new materials in the effort to abandon the internal combustion engine for electric engines. But I say again, now what you gonna do? Here's what's funny. The same people that are all on the bandwagon about electric cars with their gray heads are the same people that were protesting nuclear energy in their hippie outfits. It's the same crowd. Same faces, same everything. Now, they protested nuclear energy to the point they got it banned. Didn't build any new nuclear plants in America for 30 years. But suddenly, nuclear is back in vogue. What happened? You don't remember Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane, campaigning against nuclear energy? You don't remember that? The end of the Vietnam War, you don't remember Hanoi Jane? Well, I do. Of course I do. Remember it vividly. But the point is that the same people that were against nuclear energy are suddenly for it. Well, what about the nuclear waste? What are we going to do with that? It's accumulating every day. What are we going to do with it? Well, my point is that, friend, nuclear, son, nuclear, a nuclear holocaust, you talk about environmentally detrimental. I'm talking about, son, microorganisms won't live when the nuclear, under nuclear rate of fallout. I mean, we're talking about whole dead zones in a nation for hundreds of miles around a defunct nuclear plant. Yeah, Chernobyl. Fukushima, but that doesn't sound right. But in Japan, the issue, you know, when they had the tidal wave. Here's my point. Here's where I'm going. Let me back up. Let me do this again, okay? Do you remember when the big push was for McDonald's to stop wrapping their hamburgers and all of their stuff in paper because it was cutting down all the trees? And back in the greeny days of the 70s. And so this nice little handy thing called styrofoam. And they started putting the Big Mac in a styrofoam container. It kept it warm. And it didn't use trees. It used oil. And then all of a sudden, they quit doing that. And they quit using styrofoam cups. They quit using all that, and they went back to paper. Well, what happened? They found out that the overall that trees are renewable. But what are you going to do with that styrofoam? You can bury it, and 100 years later, it's still in the same form it was. So what are you going to do with it? So I guess what tickles me is that I've now lived long enough to see this thing come full circle. And the crowd that ranted and raved about stuff, the same bunch that ranted and raved 40 years ago, 50 years ago, are now ranting and raving about other things as if they never said what they said, as if they were never. It's almost like, we don't remember that. We didn't say that. We were never there. But they were. Sure they were. Of course they were. There are things that we can do. Oh yeah, very much so. You see, this country, we could be so close to hydrogen-driven vehicles. And the thing about it is, you could use the electricity or the hydrocarbon, whether it's natural gas, propane, or whatever, to make your hydrogen, a hydrogen generator. You make your own. Now you're getting somewhere. I think the day will come, I think it'll actually come, that we'll look back and say, can you believe that we actually burnt fuel in our cars when we could have done this with it and got so much more? Let me give you a for instance. The difference between a heat pump and electric strip heat. If you've got a house that was built in the 60s, 70s, it's got the little round knob on each room, cable heat in the ceiling. We used to sell them at Duke Power. They were gold medallion homes. Their code was 05. It was an all-electric home. There was a big deal made about it, give you a special rate on your power bill. Everybody had electric heat. You just turned the knob, and it got hot. Problem is, it was in the ceiling, and it had to heat from the ceiling down. The other problem was that when the wire got burnt, it quit working. And now you done seal it down, you done spray it over top of that. And to fix it, you had to go in there and scrape your whole ceiling down. And it was extremely expensive. It wasn't expensive when kilowatt was 3 cents a piece. But when it went to 12 cents or more than it is now, then it got very expensive way to heat your house. Well, in mobile homes, forced air heat, it's an electric heater with a blower on it. Did you know that some of those mobile homes had 15,000 watts? That's 10 little electric heaters you plug in the wall. That's the equivalent. When that thing would come on, it would be 10 electric heaters with a fan blowing over it. What does fan do to air? It cools it. So blowing the air has a cooling effect. One of the most inefficient ways of heating that you've ever seen over strip heat. And huge loads on the power plants. But remember, we were selling that back in the day. I was promoting it back in the day because we had more generation facility than we had need. We had overbuilt. The Duke system was overbuilt. We couldn't get rid of it. We had too much power. Too much power. We're trying to load the nuclear stations at night. McGuire and Kiwi, we're trying to load them. Sold outside lighting, sold electric water heaters. I mean, we push, selling electric stuff. Used to sell electric appliances in our office. We'd deliver it and set it up for you. I've delivered many of them. That was then. This is now. Now we're on the other end of the spectrum. Now Duke will give you free light bulbs if you'll change them out to cut the load. Now Duke will come out and do all these things in your business to cut the load because they can't afford to build. It's costing too much to build the power plant. So they're trying to cut the load back because now that we've oversold the generation facility. Do you see what I'm talking about? See how things change? But let's go back to what I'm talking about, though. The strip heat, one-to-one at best, one-to-one. A heat pump, depending on what the temperature is outside, a heat pump can be 300% efficient. So it can't be. Yes, it does. It really is. It can be 300% efficient, depending if it's sized just exactly right, you got the right temperatures. You can get, if the outside temperature is 65 and you're trying to get to 72, it's the perfect scenario. And that thing can do that extremely cheap. Very, very efficient. Heat pumps can be very efficient. It's when it gets down to freezing that they stop being so efficient and below. And now you're back on the old strip heat scenario on the old systems. The new mini splits, I don't know exactly how, but they go lower. I don't know. So, this is my, here's the reason that this is the whole reason that the whole thing of hydrogen has been passed by. Here's what it is. That when you reform hydrocarbons into hydrogen, which we have the technology, and the byproduct is carbon dioxide, and they say that that contributes to global warming, so it's basically been taken off the table and out of public view. But you know the byproduct of that process? When you burn it in your car, if you burn hydrogen in your automobile, you know the byproduct? Water drips out your tailpipe. Do you understand that the technology exists that you could bring your car home in the afternoon, take a plug, a umbilical cord, plug it into your house, and power your house off of your automobile? It exists. That's totally feasible. The other side of it is that your natural gas line that comes in, rather than using it to heat your, you would use it to create, your own hydrogen, which in turn would be your source. What I'm saying is that Scripture says, professing themselves wise, they become fools. That's what Scripture says. And I get amazed at how smart people act until you realize that that dog don't hunt. And then they act like they never said it. Yeah. Okay. Let me go to the text line. I've ignored it here. Let me drop back. We're going to go all the way back to the start of the program. Some of those houses are still standing in Arkansas. Sears houses. What about that? All right. All right. Hearing in from the crew in Puerto Rico loading the ship. Said they've been about to they might have a heat stroke. Yeah, they have been loading all the afternoon, and it's hot, and it's been a hard process. God bless you guys. God bless you. Okay, and apparently they are still looking for a 12-year-old who is missing. Blonde hair apparently has gotten missing in the Bearwalla Road, Hickory Shaft Drive area. It's in the Sapphire community. And a 12-year-old goes by the name of Wesley. And so they are apparently still looking for him. Okay. This morning, someone mentions that the Blaze reported that meat would be hard to buy by 2030. And sure it will, because it's going to become politically incorrect. If you're going to want meat, you're going to have to raise it yourself. Kill it yourself. Yeah, because they're buying up all the grazing lands. Go try to buy us pork right today. Go to the grocery store. Just for giggles. Next time you go to a grocery store, look in the pork. Look where the pork's at, and tell me what you see. And tell me what it costs. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The 5371 says, as Lenin said, inflict maximum damage on the populace. And of course, his disciples are in charge of the levers for now. And progressives want us living in the Stone Ages. Yeah, but you know, here's what's funny. I do not see them doing it. Okay, if progressives want to live in the Stone Age, why don't they buy them a buggy and a horse? And why don't they do that? But instead, they drive the cars with all of those stickers on the back of them. Why? You know, why are they not going Amish? No, they want me to go Amish. They want to continue to drive their SUV. They want me to go Amish. They don't think they're supposed to. Yeah, I know. Another question. 1098 said, what are we going to do when we copy somebody else and build all these roundabouts and then don't work? My fear is getting in the roundabouts in a semi. I'm just telling you. That is a truck driver's nightmare, because a semi does what's calling off-tracking. And I'm sorry, it's 70 feet long. And when your wheels are slid back and you come into a roundabout, you're going to be in both lanes or probably up on the center of it. If you got to do, you know, a right angle turn, what are you going to do? You're in a mess. Yeah, I dread it. I dread it. I don't know. I don't know. There's one coming to the Acosta cut through. There's one coming there on Asheville Highway. There's another one coming to the entrance of the forest. Yep, they're scheduled. Yep. And both of them are four lanes, so they're going to be pretty good size. All right. Good to see Brother Orius in Canada. I've had him on with us this afternoon. Thank you. Someone says, rules for thee, but not for me. Yeah. Ain't that always the way of it? Well, here's the thing. All the billionaires want us to do socialism. They're all socialists. But here's my point. If you want to do that, why don't you go ahead and write everybody in America a check? Just do the math, divide it up, and write everybody a check. Because that's what basically socialism is. What's yours is mine. Well, supposed to be what's mine is yours, but the way that it comes across is what's yours is mine. That's the way that works. But some of the big liberals that are pushing all this stuff, George Soros is worth how much? And he's pushing all of these social changes, but yet he's not willing to stop his extravagant lifestyle. They're not willing to stop driving their limousines, their Bentleys, their Rolls's. They're not willing to stop that. They're not willing to live in the 30,000-square-foot homes. They're not willing to stop doing that. They want us to live in these little tenement houses, but they won't. They're not going to stop living in their mansions. They're going to fly their jets to go fishing and to go here and to go there. But they think because they can contribute to some green, left-wing green outfit, that offsets their carbon footprint. That's what they've told themselves. So it's hypocrisy, folks. You need to understand. There is a great deal of hypocrisy among the people who want it for everybody else. They talk about it. They tell you that's what they want, but they have no intention of doing it themselves. Everybody wants gun control, but the main people pushing gun controls all have armed guards. It's the truth. All of them have armed guards. Put yours down. I started to say I put mine down, but I'm not going to put mine down. Put yours down and be an example for all of us. Just put your arms down. Take your wall down. Open your gate. Take it off the hinges. And put your guns down. Get rid of your armed force. And be an example for us. But you're not going to do that. But they want us to do it. So, a great deal of hypocrisy among the left. And here's the thing. I don't understand how any red-blooded American who values law and order can even track what the crazy left is doing right now. And I say that unapologetically. I was going to use a stronger word than crazy, but I was kind. It's just crazy. There's a man who has voted Democrat all his life. Told me the other day, said, I'm just going to tell you. He said, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but it ain't going to be them. He said, That is not what I was raised on. That is not who. And I said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Dixiecrats, the old Dixiecrat. They were the conservatives, the old Southern Dixiecrat. Of course they were. Matter of fact, those parties switched. Yeah, they switched places. Ronald Reagan made the statement when he left the Democratic Party. They asked him, so why'd you leave? He said, I didn't leave. He said, they left me. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Ralph Sexton used to say, Ralph Sexton get on the radio and he'd say, beloved, don't sell your land. He said, you're selling our heritage. Don't sell your land. When grandma dies, don't sell the farm. Don't sell your place. Carpetbaggers are taking us over. Don't sell your place. We're selling our heritage. Didn't miss it far, did he? Didn't miss it far. All right. Thank you for being on board this afternoon. Let me just give you a quick update, if I can, on Miss Janice Sexton. She's doing good and was up and down yesterday, got in a chair and a couple of times, and thank the Lord for that. Has been taken off of all IV pain meds. Still on some IVs, but not on pain meds. The goal today was to start trying to eat a little bit more to wake up her GI tract. Of course, she had a liver transplant Monday. This is only Thursday. She is in a step down, has just doing very well. Her blood enzymes are doing good. Her skin is improving. The color's improving. Her eyes, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, she was just dying without her liver. And liver failure, and now she's perked up, and it's just amazing how the Lord has done that. And of course, Brother Butch and whole family giving God the glory for it all. And so we say hallelujah, hallelujah, to God be the glory. Continue to pray for COVID and those suffering from it, and those on respirators, those in intensive care, those in the hospital, those with it at home. And let's pray that God will bless them and help them. And yeah. And somebody says from Arkansas says, start planting your gardens. Yep. Well, and I, on a local note, and on a you know, it's the end of the season, but on a right now note, start buying extra groceries. Seriously. Somebody says, well, I can't afford it. Stop eating out. Eating out's become one of the biggest waste of monies that ever been. The price of eating out has gone crazy. The food cost is tiny. The reason it's costing so much is because they're having to pay $17.50 an hour to get somebody to wash the dishes. That's what your minimum wage that the liberals wanted. That's what it's costing. So now that everything else is responding, we've had the highest inflation that we've had in the past 15 years, along with nobody to work, along with highest fuel prices, along with shortages, along with, oh man, what a mess. Yeah. We have a commercial refrigerator went out. It's going to be 2 weeks before I can even get it looked at. 2 weeks. Nobody to work. And there are companies right now that are not taking any new business. They're 6 months out. They won't even talk to you. They're 6 months out. They can't even because they can't get anybody to work. And people are out on COVID. They're out on COVID restrictions. And they can't get anybody to work. Somebody said, oh, America's in the best shape it's ever been in. And I would repeat what my brother said. What planet are you living on? Friend, we had it. I mean, 2 years ago right now, it's pretty high cotton. But the consumer, somebody said, well, the markets are good. Well, good. I'm glad the markets are good, and that's good for retirement, and that's good for other things. But I'm talking about people trying to live and make a living. And I'm just telling you, the housing bubble, absolutely gone insane what things are bringing. The recreation bubble, anything to do with the recreation, no matter what it is. A camper, doesn't matter what it is. It's crazy. The prices are insane. What people are doing. Used vehicles are up 50%. 50% on a used vehicle. You could have bought one last year, sold it this year, and make good money. Problem is, what are you going to put in the place of it? We're in a mess. Yeah. We are in a mess. Yep, we're going to have to have a lot of things. We're going to have to. But I'm very serious when I tell you, get some prescription medicine, try to get ahead on that. Try to keep your cars full. Go ahead and get your oil barrel filled. Go ahead and get your gas tank filled if you use propane. Get you some groceries up. And this is what the FEMA says. FEMA says be independent. Don't have to go to the store for 3 weeks. For you and your entire family. That is a FEMA recommendation. Now, how many listening can do that? Seriously. How many listening to me could keep up your current lifestyle and not buy anything for 3 weeks? Not many. But let's go another step. What if you have another lockdown and you're locked out of work? And by the way, you know what the latest thing is now? This is the big new deal. If you have a shot, you're out of work one day, you go get tested, and if you're negative, you get to come back to work. But if you are not vaccinated, you can't even get tested till the fifth day. And even with a negative test, according to the CDC, you have to stay out till the seventh day. And now businesses are saying, if you're unvaccinated, that's on you. You got to take your vacation and your sick days or not get paid. Yep. I'm serious. We'll test those convictions and see how, when it starts getting in your pocketbook, I'm telling you. And that's what it's all about. That's what this whole thing's about. Yeah, God help us. What a mess we're in. What a mess we're in. A nation divided like I've never seen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we need you. Lord, I know you've been invited to leave, but Lord, there's a few, Lord, that invite you to return. And Lord, we see without you what's happened. And Lord, we see that without you, which direction this thing's taken. Lord, no doubt we've seen the judgment hand of God, either actively or passively. Lord, either you've the judgment of God is on the nation because you've willed it to be so, or you've taken the hand of blessing off of the nation. And judgment is a response to that. Either way, Lord, we're asking, in wrath, remember mercy. And Lord, may America have revival. And Lord, may America once again be that city on a hill. Father, we're praying that you speak to some heart, save some soul, get glory to yourself. Be with the sick, the infirmed, those struggling for air, those afraid, Lord, those bereaved, and those who will be shortly. Help them, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again with On the Air, In the Air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.